Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river to the woods from where Granny loves her cushy, cushy, purple, cushy, cushy, cushy. When she's hanging out, drinking shots of JMO in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do. But all my friends that come around, flats of party, up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess, it's tats, it's tat, and my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it up. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High this evening. So, a lot of drama in here at the Farrell Palatial tonight, Carver High. You know, we're under
a lot of drama. A lot of drama on a Wednesday night? You got drama at the house?
Oh, my God. So, Cujo's at it again. Your boy,
I told you about that dog when you got it. I told you. I said it to you when you got that dog. Get rid of the dog.
Get rid of the dog. You know, I'm thinking about getting rid of the dog now because the dog has done it again. So, tonight, the dog, for the fifth time, it's had a run-in with a skunk, but this time the dog, how should I say, I guess he won because this time he caught the skunk and killed it, then he ate it. My dog is a 125-pound monster, and it means business. I've been telling you that forever on this show. This dog is not a dog you want to F around with. This dog will bite your arm off. He is absolutely like a police dog. I mean, he's like one of them trained dogs where they get the guy with the uniform on with the padded arm and the dog attacks and, you know, the training. So this dog went out tonight, chased down a skunk, and he comes rolling back with it in his mouth, dead. Then we tried to get the dog to let the skunk go, and he wasn't having any of that. Then he turned it on us, right? The dog was, once we like tried to make a move to get the thing out of his mouth, then the dog got all savage with us, started growling, fanging, lifting his lips, the whole deal, like showing you that you go near him, he's going to bite you. He means business. And so, like, I'm done with it. Like, I'm the one that picks up all the dog cable. I'm the one that walks the damn thing every day of the year, come rain, snow, sleet, or ice. I'm the one that does everything. So you know what I did tonight? The dog went out and attacked this thing, killed it. Then he ate it right in front of my wife and daughter. The dog just tore it right in half and then just ate its entire, like, the entire thing. He just ate it. So then the dog was burning. We welcome in our radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Mightier 1090 San Diego, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline USA, Armed Forces Radio. I'm Pharrell with Carver High. So the dog ate the skunk dead, the entire thing, ate it. It's got like foam and hair and just absolute just shack all over him, just covered in head to toe with blood and everything. The dog is insane. And then the dog starts burning, right? The skunk spray and smell and whatever they got to protect themselves got in its eyes and in its mouth, and the dog started going ape shack. He just started freaking out. Then he like jumped in the snow because we still got like 2 feet of snow here. And we used to have seven feet of snow, but it's been, you know, warm today. So, you know, in the last few days, it you know, we had a couple of days where it was 50 and it melted half of it. So the dog dove in the snow trying to get the burn off of him, and he's just soaking wet. I mean, like he jumped in a lake. And I mean to tell you, it smells so bad in my house and on my deck and in my garage and in my everywhere. It's everywhere. I can smell it right now. I'm the furthest point from where it happened, and I can still smell it. I mean, he's ruined everything. Then you can't let him in the house because he smells like overwhelming, will knock you out. It smells so bad. When those skunks are in trouble, they just let it all out. They just let it all out. And I mean, when they're in trouble, they just put out that, I mean, they put it in full glory, that they shoot that wad and they just absolutely reek. I mean, it'll knock you over. It'll make your eyes water. It'll knock you on your ass. That's how bad it smells. So the dog can't come in the house at all. So it's freezing. It's freezing outside. It's 20 degrees. And can't leave the dog outside. It'll be 10 degrees here in an hour. And the dog will freeze to death. The vet said, don't let him sleep outside. You got to put him in a garage. Put him in a cage. So I put him in a cage. The dog wouldn't go in a cage. No one can get the dog in a cage. I got the dog in a cage. Pharrell style. You ever seen a foot, a size 12 in a dog's ass? Okay, picture that. I'll tell you how that played out. Our boy Smitty checking in. Let's see what we got here. He liked our triple-double Harden plus 210 tonight, Carver High. And then Ariel Epstein's on fire. She's smoking with the props, too. Unbelievable we hit that thing. You know, he went into the half at what, 14, 9, and 7. And yeah. He had 14, 7 boards, 9 dimes. And then he didn't get the 10th rebound and the triple-double until there was like 4 minutes left in the game. He got a rebound off of a miss. And Kyrie and him both went up for the ball, and he got the rebound. So he got the triple-double tonight, and they won. It was a really ugly game. I'll talk about it in a minute. I want to finish my story. I'm very angry. So the dog wouldn't get in the cage, and the dog's just like – the dog's vicious. So the dog will not tolerate anyone trying to mess with him. He doesn't receive any kind of, like – you know, instructions. He just does whatever he wants. You have to understand, like, we tried to train the dog, right, at the beginning. And we took the dog to expensive dog training school and the whole deal, right? They kicked the dog out of the dog training academy. Okay? The guy looked at me and said, right, quote, This dog's untrainable. Get out. End quote. That was it. And I knew it. I was like, this dog ain't going to listen to you. This dog's not listening to anybody. The only thing that dog's going to listen to is really, you know, it's got to be scared, right, to understand how much trouble it's in. So the dog he doesn't get along with others. He doesn't put up with anything. He doesn't deal with anybody telling him what to do, anything else. So the dog wouldn't get in the cage. So that was the end of that. I just took over. And once I come swooping in, he's scared to death of me because he already knows what happens. I'm not losing to a dog, okay? All you dog lovers out there and cat lovers and all the rest, here's how it works. I win, you lose, I'm in charge. Chuck in charge. Carver High knows it too. He's been over here. I'm not putting up with it. You think you're going to mess with me, some dog? It's not happening. It's not happening. I don't care what way. I won't even tell you what I do to the dog. The dog is not winning ever with me around. So, and first of all, I feed it. I walk it. I pick up its cable. I do everything. That's why the dog likes me, because I feed it and I don't mess around. The dog knows who the piper is. I'm the Pied Piper. So he's afraid of me. He knows when I start raising my voice what happens. And I got the dog in the cage, and now the dog knows. I told him one time, I said, listen, if you think you're going to bark all night long in this garage because you went out and killed a skunk and ate it, and you smell like, you know, shack, and you've ruined everything. He broke the back door, too. He smashed the back door in. So the back door's broken. He broke that. The whole house smells. He's ruined everything. He's probably got rabies. And he's covered in blood and, you know, reek, just the worst smell. I mean, this landfill smell better than my house right now.
Landfill is on fire.
And I just am done with it. I told the dog, if you even bark once tonight, don't even bark once or all hell's coming down. Rain on fire. All hellfire. It's all coming. I'm going to come down there and believe me, it will not turn out well for you. And then 34C's like, I'm not putting it in my car. Of course, I'm putting it in my car to take it to the hospital because it has to be, like, scrubbed down. I mean, the dog's, like, done. He's going to smell for a month. You have no idea how bad it is. Like, Carver, have you ever smelled a dog that gets ripped by a skunk when they spray it? When a dog gets sprayed by a skunk, what happens?
No, I don't mess with dogs or skunks or any of this stuff. I don't get involved. I'm not involved at all.
I mean, it is the most overwhelming. It makes a landfill smell like roses. I mean, a landfill with garbage for New York City landfill. Like enough for 10 million people landfill. That it smells five times worse than that. It's the worst smell. It burns your throat. It burns your eyes and throat. Like my whole house now. When you walk in my house, my throat and eyes burn. You know what I told my wife? Because, you know, I'm just not the most pleasant person in the world. I said, you know, just kill it. Just get rid of it.
Hey, bud, what's your problem? You said,
listen, I don't want to kill the dog either, but I'm so sick of it. It's not even worth it. Like, the dog cost me 30 grand a year in medical and going to the vet, hospitals, shots, allergies, baths. I mean, it's like having a kid. And I never wanted it to begin with. You remember when I got that stupid dog? Carver High.
Oh, I remember.
It was a little puppy.
And I remember. I remember the first thing I said to you.
Get rid of it.
Bring it back. Don't
take it back.
Don't even do it. Just please.
Why did you think that at the beginning?
I don't know. Just because you've gone so long here, you know, it's not like your kids are younger. And, you know, a lot of times the younger kids are the ones, you know, we got to get a dog. We got to get, like, you made it through. Kids got older. You know, at that point, the dog should be their problem. You know, not a you problem. It should be their problem.
Right.
You know, your kids weren't 4 and 6. They were, you know, third, you know, whatever. I mean, McKenna was probably, what, 9 or 10 when you got the dog.
7.
You know, but still, like, it's like you made it through without all the dog stuff when they were younger. And then, and not only did you get it. Not only did you get a dog, you got like this huge monstrous dog too. Like, you couldn't just get like a, You know, like a normal dog, you had to get this huge dog that has just caused you nothing but problems, like forever.
So the dog is the size, it's 125 pounds. The dog is the size of a recliner in your house. That's how big he is. And he's literally the size of a chair. And he means business. And all I know is the kids do nothing. I mean, let's just get like right to the gist of it. They don't do a effing thing for the dog ever. Nothing ever. They don't walk him. They don't pick up his cable. They do nothing. They don't feed him. They don't play with him. They don't do anything. Like my daughter will go near the dog and the dog will like bite her. It'll like try to bite her because he's like, I don't care what you think. You don't have anything to do with anything with me. You don't feed me. You don't walk me. You don't pick up my cable. Don't come near me. I will bite you.
But they'll be the first ones to be upset if you get rid of them. They'll be the first ones to get upset if you get rid of them.
If you go near the dog and the dog doesn't like you, the dog lets you know one time. It's like, he lets you know. He's like, dude, you got like 5 seconds before I bite your hand off. Okay? So don't even think about, woo. And then the son, he's worthless. He's worthless. He, like the dog, like I'm like, walk the dog. You'd think I asked him to shovel ditches in 120 degree heat in the middle of the desert. You think I'm like, walk the dog. And he's like, he rolls his eyes. Because you know what he does all day is play video games. That's it. Can't mess with him, though. All honors, straight A's. Perfect. Dean's list, honors, all honors classes, straight A. Can't mess with a kid that gets straight A's. What am I going to tell him? You're grounded? You know, kids that get straight A's that are geniuses, you can't, what are you going to yell at them? What are you going to say? All you do is play video games. You're worthless. Meanwhile, I never got A's in anything, ever, except chicks. I got a lot of A's with chicks. Good with women. They love me, those girls. Since I was a kid. Anyway, Carver, so the dog reeks. He's in the garage. He's locked up. He's livid. He is livid. If you go near him, he starts growling. Livid. The dog is livid. In the morning, we're going to have to glove up, mask up, stuff him in the car, and take him to the dog hospital to be scrubbed down and detoxed. I hope something happens tonight. Maybe he'll die tonight in the garage, frozen. Mark Hockman at QAM Miami on next. All right, Pharrell on the bench. So craziness here tonight at the Pharrell Play Show with the dog. Catching a skunk, killing the skunk, snapping the skunk's neck in two, and then eating the skunk, but not before being completely doused by the skunk and completely sprayed and just butchered with spray in the eyes, mouth, everywhere. The dog's just covered in it. 125-pound Cujo. He's now in a cage in the garage because he's ruin the house. The house smells literally like a landfill. It's a disaster. The whole thing's a disaster. It broke the back door. The dog's vicious. He's evil and unholy. Satan. The dog is Satan. And, I mean, what a nightmare. It's like the fifth time the dog's been hit by skunks, too. And this time he finally caught it and killed it and ate it. Ate the thing right in front of my wife. That's what really was awesome. Seeing her, she was like having gagging. She was gagging. Like she was going, she had the whole, she was like, she might have even like had a little hurl going. I don't even know because there's a lot of fluids flying around here tonight. Mark Hockman, it can't even fathom hearing this as the lead in to his interview from QAM and Waxy and Miami. He's on so many radio stations down there, I can't keep track of it. He's like the market king. Him and Crowder. He and Crowder, they're our boy, Crowder. Can you imagine, like, the two of you guys, when do you sleep? Do you ever, like, go out and have a beer ever, or do you just do, like, 55 shows a day?
No, just Just one show, multiple stations. I got all the free time in the world. I'm not chasing any dogs down with, you know, what you're going through is so Crowder's wheelhouse and so not mine. I don't do anything with nature. I have nothing to do with dogs, skunks. You know Crowder. Crowder's out fishing. If Crowder, you know, Crowder's a southern guy, so if he runs over something, he'll cook it up and eat it. It doesn't matter if it's a raccoon, roadkill, whatever it is. Like, he loves all that stuff. Like, you're speaking his language right now, and that is so. The only fishing I have ever done is in the grocery store. I see what they have.
So, when you go fishing, it's to pick up a salmon fillet at the counter.
Exactly it. That's exactly it. Crowder will say on the air sometimes, like, "Ooh, I can't wait to get off the air. The fish are biting today." And I say, "Me too. I'm heading over to Whole Foods."
So you don't. So like the extent of your like outdoor, like, you know, going out and like doing anything might be like sitting by the pool with some mosquito repellent on, because you don't want any part of that either. The bugs in South Florida, like if you go out, the no-see-ums eat you.
Yeah, they eat you alive, man. You sit out. I was out there for 5 minutes tonight. My ankles got all bitten up. It's fine. No, Crowder and I really, because, you know, he's a hunter and he's a fisherman. He's got a boat. He invites me. Crowder has invited me to go fishing with him 75 times in, you know, the last 5 years. And people love going fishing with Crowder because he's an outdoorsman. He's got all his stories from his Dolphins playing days and his Florida Gator playing days. And before he can even get the invite out, I say, nope, not interested. I'm not interested. I have no interest in sitting on a boat and going fishing.
So you've never gone with him once?
Never. And he, awesome. It drives him crazy because people, you know, they jump all over each other to be on his fishing boats, you know, because there's always other athletes on the boat with him, and, you know, they got all the stories and they got the beer, and I have no desire. It just sounds like a hellacious day to me.
So I like you more and more each time I talk to you. So you're telling me that, like, your idea of a great day, like when I lived in Miami, your idea of a great day is like I used to, like, you know, hit in the pool for like an hour. I'd lay out there and get, you know, lay in the pool, maybe hit the jacuzzi or something for a few minutes. But then that was pretty much it. And then, like, my idea of a really good day is like being in the air conditioning in the condo and not having anything to do with being outside sweating my ass off. I just want no part of it.
Don't understand people that want to be sweating all day. My, like, for me, a safari is going to the food court, and I'll prowl around a little bit, and I'll see what's going on at Bourbon Chicken, and then, you know, catches my eye, and it's Sparrow, and they're cooking up a new slice. Like, yeah, that's my, we had a dolphin on the air this year, Zach Sealer, and he went viral for a little bit because he lives in a trailer, like a double wide. But he's got this whole campground, and he comes out with me and Crowder, and, you know, as Crowder's talking, he's a hunter, because Zach Sealer just hunts the entire off-season. And he's like, "You guys got to come do a show at the campgrounds, and we're going to go hog hunting and boar hunting." And I just said, "Hey, you got Netflix somewhere on that campground that you got? Because I'm literally going to be nowhere near any of the hunt. I just want to make sure you got some good Wi-Fi signal in the Netflix."
So you couldn't, like, if they went to the campground and they had the barbecue going and, like, a luau-type atmosphere with all kinds of Mai Tais and booze and food spread and everything else, you'd still be in the cabin watching Netflix and asking if they had air conditioning.
That's exactly right. I'll go outside. I'm not an ingrate. I'll go outside, get my food, and then I'll bring it back inside the air conditioning. Who the hell wants to eat outside with all the bugs and the humidity?
It's so awful down there. I know how hot it is. All right, so it is so awful. Like, I can't even, you know, I mean, just this dog ruined my entire house tonight, ruined my life, ruined everything, ruined everyone's smells. It smells so bad. My eyes are burning right now. It smells so bad in my house. My eyes are burning. It's just the worst. And I told her to kill it, and that did not go over well. That did not.
Yeah, don't do that.
Received.
Don't do that. Yeah, don't do that.
She wants me to kill. They'd rather kill me. The wife and two kids would kill me, let alone before. When I said kill the dog, they said kill him. Kill him.
Right,
him.
Kill dad.
Yeah, so I'm having one of those nights. All right, so I couldn't believe, to be honest with you, Hawk, that the Heat were playing so well, and then they lost to the Hawks at home. I couldn't even believe it because, I mean, I was hitting games left and right, but that was one I got burned on. Now that Dragic's back, the Dragon, and you got Butler and company, do you sense that they've turned the corner and that they're back to their old selves?
Yeah, totally. That six-game win streak, like I even said on the air today, I'm not going to overreact to the loss last night, even though it was ugly and Atlanta's a much worse team than them. Like, they shouldn't lose to that team. But when Jimmy Butler's not playing, they're a different team. So I'm not going to overreact to it. But I do think that they turned the corner. You know, they dealt with all the injuries and with the COVID lists all season long, and I think you'll see after All-Star Sunday, I think you'll really see them start to gel. Now, are they the elite of the East? I don't know. I mean, I don't see anybody beating Brooklyn. But, you know, Milwaukee doesn't scare me. I mean, it was kind of the same feel as last year when they got to the bubble and they were able to get through good teams. Brooklyn, though, is obviously super scary.
Yeah, and they did it again tonight in Houston. Harden went back to H-Town and had a triple-double, and they blew out the Rockets 132-114. But are people down there getting excited about the Heat again now that they got out of their funk? I mean, are people sensing that they're, things are getting back to normal and that they're going to be fine and there's nothing to worry about? Or?
Yeah, I mean, there's, again, there's a couple concerns when you lose to Atlanta like you did last night. I mean, there's people, texting us today, Bam's not worth the money that they're paying him. And I disagree with that, even though he had a bad game yesterday. But this is going to shock you because you lived down here for a while. I have a feeling that there's a little bit more palpable excitement for the Panthers right now than the Heat, only because the Panthers, they're feeling special. You know, the Heat, great to have them back and got that six-game win streak before they lost last night, but that got them to 500. Like, you're just at 500, so you still got a long ways to go. There's some palpable excitement about the Panthers, which I love.
Right. I was watching them the other night, and I haven't watched them in like a couple years. So I went down, I used to go to the Panther games all the time. And like, I was the only person that went to the Panther games all the time. And I went. And so anyway, I watched them the other night when they played Carolina. They were up. They were down 1-0, tied it in the third. Then they were up 2-1. They scored late and with 3 minutes left. And then they gave up the equalizer, and then they lost in overtime. The interesting thing was, for me, was hearing Goldie with Randy Moeller. I think they're great together. I remember, they've gone through all these different announcers over the years, yeah. And then they finally settled on Goldie. But Moeller was kind of the ice rink reporter before, and they had like Potvin doing it with him or whoever.
Yep.
And then finally they got Moeller and Goldie together. So I think they are fantastic together. And I don't deny that the team's playing great hockey. I like them. They're having a great season. They've beaten the Lightning a few times. They mean business. We'll come back with Mark Hochman, and we'll get into some. I want to talk to him about the Canes. They open against Alabama. Whose idea was that? That's a nice way of getting your ass beat. And then we'll talk about the Dolphins and a little Marlins with Mark Hochman. All right, for all on the bench, Mark Hockman does Hockman and Crowder in Miami on 790 and 560. He's on two stations down there. And they're kick ass. We see them all over the place, Vegas, otherwise, doing shows. They're great together. It's good to have Mark on the bench. So I'm watching the game the other night, and they lost that game to the Canes. But they, they came back, they tied it, took the lead, late, and I thought they had it in the bag, and then Carolina, burned them, and then they won that game in overtime. And but they have beaten really good teams. They've beaten the Lightning a few times. How for real do you think they really are? And it's finally interesting to see Bobrovsky be good in net, because I don't think he ever was really good for them down there yet, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I think they're legit good. Like, I don't think it's I don't think it's an aberration. Like, they're legit good. And those two games, I was at one of the games against the Hurricanes. Those are games they'd have lost last year, that they'd have gotten out of there with no points, I should say. You know what I mean? In seasons past, they'd have been down. They were down 2-0 in the third period for three games in a row. And came back and got a point in two out of those three games. I really think they're legit. They made some really good additions. This Patrick Hornquist has been great. Carter Verhaeghe has been great. And like you say, when you got Bobrovsky, and then they got the backup goalie, Chris Drieger, who I think might have more starts right now than Bobrovsky this season. If he doesn't have more, it's close. Like, you've got two starting goalies, essentially. I don't think they're an aberration. We've been waiting for them to get off to a hot start for a long time, because they've been getting off every season. It's slow starts, and then they're trying to creep back into it, and you're counting games in hand. I mean, it's become like an old losers mantra down here with Panthers fans. At the end of the season, you're counting games in hand, and you're waiting for them to get off to a fast start. They finally have. I just feel good about this team.
The kid Vetrano had all these big goals for them to tie games, and he did it the other night as well on Monday against Carolina. That made it 1-1, and then they got the lead with about 4 minutes left, 3 minutes, whatever it was, and then they lost on that beautiful overtime goal that Carolina put in, cross-ice feed, guy was all alone, boom. And he stuffed it in. All right, let me ask you about what do you think all this stuff has done to a Tagovailoa that in, from our standpoint up here, all we hear about, even today I heard about it, was that Deshaun Watson was going to, go to the Dolphins, and that the Dolphins are all in on Watson. Well, we've also heard that Deshaun Watson's going to seven other teams, so I can't keep up with it. But what do you think all that's done to Tua, and that, do you think it's just all, national media BS, and that it was never going to happen, that they would deal him for Watson? First of all, I wouldn't trade Watson for Tua Tagovailoa to save your ass, because Tua Tagovailoa is not as good as Watson. And I would never make that deal if I was Houston. What do you think it's done to his head?
That's the million-dollar question. You just nailed it. It's not like, of course you get Deshaun Watson if you can get him, right? It doesn't mean that you don't like Tua and whoever your starting quarterback may be. It doesn't mean that you don't like them. If you can get a Deshaun Watson at his age, you go out and get him. The million-dollar question, I've been asking this since last season. Tua's never really faced adversity, right? He's always been the star. And so at Alabama, he was the man, and then he was going to be the overall number one pick if he didn't have an injury, right? I mean, as good as Joe Burrow was, if Tua Tagovailoa had played the entire season, he was going to be the number one overall pick. All of a sudden, he gets to Miami, and twice during the season, he gets benched and replaced. And you remember the first time he got benched, they were only down 10 points in the fourth quarter, and I'm thinking to myself, what does this do to him mentally? And then you get to this off season, and finally, they're obviously not going to bring Ryan Fitzpatrick back, and so it's going to be his team, and he's not going to, he's not going to have this question mark or this, so-called backup who's really the starter hanging over his head, and then all of a sudden this Deshaun Watson thing blows up, and I go, wow, what does this do for him now? Because now the conversation in Miami is, oh, yeah, yeah, we like you, but there might be a prettier girl out there, and she might be interested in us. So stay with me for a second here, but let me just go talk to her and see how things go. And if it goes all right, I'll give you the signal and you walk away gracefully, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. That could affect him mentally. He's a young kid.
So, you know, and on top of that, they actually, all these guys at Alabama, the best players on Alabama, their best of the best, have said in recent days that they all pick Mac Jones over Tua Tagovailoa as who's better, who's a better quarterback, and they all pick Mac Jones. Now, I don't know if that's because they're still eating lunch with him on campus. I don't know if it's the truth, but that can't, like, you cannot avoid that if you're him, if you ask me. Now, he can play like, I'm filthy rich, I'm in the NFL, I'm getting paid, I got all kinds of money, everything's fine. I just don't believe you can have all your old teammates and people saying you're not as good as the kid that replaced you, and that doesn't bother you. And then now they get rid of Van Noy, and they got a 3 and an 18. They have to go out and get a pass rusher. They have to go out and do that in this draft automatic. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think, though, number one priority is weapons for Tua. I really do. And I'm with you. You know, everything you say there, it's like you could say that you're ignoring all the noise all you want. It's impossible to ignore it. But I'm kind of along the lines of what you suggested at the beginning also. These kids are playing with Mac Jones right now. And Tua has already been drafted. He was a top five overall pick. Mac is still looking to get drafted, and so I think they're talking him up. There's recency bias in there as well, so I don't put too much weight into that stuff. The weird thing is it becomes a narrative. It becomes another talking point, and it seems like if you're Tua, and again, I don't know what his mental fortitude is, but it seems like if you're Tua, every time you turn around, they're trying to talk about why you weren't as good as Justin Herbert during your rookie season, or why you were getting replaced by Ryan Fitzpatrick in the second half of Dolphins games, or why they should feel okay giving you up for Deshaun Watson if he's available. And now it becomes, well, why are his teammates saying Mac Jones is better than him? Like, you could see where that would pile up. Even though I don't give it any credence, you could see where that would pile up and have him go, yeah, what the hell is going on here? But I do think first order of business for the Dolphins is to get him weapons, because you saw the difference with Josh Allen when he had Stephon Diggs, and that's what I'm waiting for Tua, that he's not throwing to Isaiah Ford, that he's throwing to, you know, somebody who can catch the ball.
Well, I think he's in big boy pants now. You know, when you're at Alabama and everybody's kissing your ass and you win every game you play by 30 and you mow your way through your schedule and you go play in the college football championship game every year, it's a different life than when you go into the NFL and they blame you for everything. They blame you for everything. You're an NFL quarterback now in Miami, and it, you know, you could be out in the beautiful weather all you want, but you're still going to be blamed for every loss, every mistake, every bad game, every bad throw. Everyone's going to pile on you, and he's been getting piled on. Let me ask you really quick, because I want to ask you about the Marlins too, but just one thought on the Canes. I cannot believe – now, I like that they're not afraid to play Alabama. I like that they have the stones to play them in the opener. But, I mean, I don't even know where they're playing that game. It's probably some fancy place like Jerry's World or something. I don't even know where that game
is. It's Atlanta. Yeah, it's at the Mercedes-Benz, yeah.
Well, they're going to get their ass beat. That's what's going to happen. And Bryce Young and Alabama is going to kick their teeth in, and you know it. And I'm the biggest Canes fan you know. And I just can't even believe that they're opening their season with that big fat L. I hope I'm wrong. I pray God Miami beats them, but they're not going to beat Alabama.
I will. I mean, obviously, you don't feel like they're going to beat them, and it would be very surprising if you do. But I will say this: I like having the big marquee games, and I like having the Hurricanes involved in the big marquee games. So I'd sign up for that if I was the AD. I've got no problem doing that. I'd rather suffer a defeat at the beginning of the season than the end of the season, because they always count against you more at the end of the season, because you can fight your way right up to the top spot again. You get that loss out of the way real early. And why not? Why not? Go, why not? Why not try to take out the big dog right at the beginning? I like it. Now, I don't know, you know, when they scheduled this game, where they thought the program would be. And so that may play into it as well. But, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, man. Come on, college football kickoff. That's, I mean, that's the, where'd your Miami swagger go, Pharrell?
Yeah, listen, I got all kinds of Miami swagger. I just know, you know, in terms of reality, they're not ready. You know, you can't beat Louisiana Tech in a bowl game two seasons ago. You get beat 29-0. I thought they had a much better season this year, but also failings at the end. And then now you're telling me they're ready for Miami and Alabama. This isn't the 80s and 90s where they could take on Alabama and they could take on any team anywhere. I mean, they're just not there yet. Now, is King going to be ready to go after he blew out his knee? That's all that matters, because I thought he did a great job for the Canes.
Yeah, if he's healthy, then at least you have a fighter's chance. But if he's not, it's going to be Canes are the skunk, and Alabama's going to be your dog.
Yeah, that's true. Let me ask you about the Marlins. They made the playoffs. They had a hell of a run, very exciting. And now Miss Ning is going to run the franchise, and I think she's got a great reputation, certainly with the Yankees and Dodgers. Are they excited about her running the Marlins or not?
Yeah, I think fans are. It's, you know, again, with what's going on with the Heat and the Panthers and all the Deshaun Watson talk, like our sports anchor was given the headlines and gave the spring training score for the Marlins today. And I said, when does the regular season start? I don't even know. And I haven't really even begun to pay attention to these guys yet. And then, you know, he told me April 1st. So I think that there's some excitement, obviously, because they made the playoffs and they beat the Cubs in the wild card round of the playoffs. So there's some excitment. And when Kim Ng was hired, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find a single person that says she doesn't have a great baseball mind. And so it seems, because I was highly critical of Bruce Sherman, the new owner, and Derek Jeter. I was highly critical of the way that they took over and did things in year one. But it does seem like maybe their plan is going to come to fruition.
Yeah, and they won today 8-5 over the Nationals in a Grapefruit League game. So that's good at the very least. And, you know, everybody going, so, and everybody pitching. They had a lot of guys pitch today. So there you go. They're working. They're grinding. Mark, good hearing from you, brother. I love you. Say hi to crowd for me, and we'll catch up again soon, man. All the best.
Love you too, Scotty.
All right, Mark Hochman on QAM Miami and 790 The Ticket. All right, Pharrell on a bench with you. I don't know if you saw this. It's funny. I was talking about this guy last night at great length with Mafia on the bench. I was talking about TJ McConnell. Remember, I don't know if you heard, I was talking about guys that are little in the NBA. Let's face it, he's little. And I talked about all these guys like JJ Redick. And, you know, JJ Redick's actually an inch taller than me. And everybody thinks I'm big. Mafia's bigger than me. Mafia's 6'5", 240. I'm 6'3½", 220. And when I play ball with all these guys I play with, I'm pretty big, all things being equal. Most guys are like 6 foot to 6'2", or something. Not a lot of them are 6'3", and above. 6'5", 6'6", 6'8". Like the biggest guy I play against, 6'8", 6'9", right? And I was talking about how LeBron James is, you know, 6'8", whatever, 280, and or whatever he is, 6'6", 280, whatever the hell he is. I can't keep track of it. All I know is he's a monster, and I was talking about it last night. All these guys are huge. When you're watching them on TV, you don't realize how big they are, and until you're standing next to them, until you're literally on the floor at an NBA game and you're standing next to one of them, or you meet one of them in public, or you're at an airport, or you're at a resort somewhere and you see one of them, and then you realize how big they are. These guys are all monsters. They're very big. And then I talked about all these little guys that have made it in the NBA that have skill. And I talked about McConnell. And McConnell, I said, this guy's tiny. He's running around. He's 6'1 or whatever. And he's running around. He's all over the place. He's causing havoc. He's steals, you name it. He does everything. The guy's he's a mess. Like, trying to catch that guy, he's like a mosquito. But tonight, the guy had an incredible game. I don't know if you knew this or not. He had 16 points, 13 assists, and 10 steals. The 11 triple-double with steals in NBA history. He had 9 steals in the first half. Your boy, TJ McConnell.